You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm the co-host of this wonderful show. And on a special pod today, I know we've got the Knicks come up this weekend, but we said the hell with it, and we want to do a trade deadline all-star announcement podcast. So join me on the other line right now is who else but Tony East.
It happened. The all-star announcement happened. We're talking about that at the end. But, yeah, Domas Sabonis, officially a first-time all-star, which means the Pacers got two all-stars.
Oh, yeah. You know, I have a whole intro plan for that segment. So that's going to be – that's going to finish.
Okay, wait. Before we get there, can I tell you a depressing tweet I saw?
Oh, great.
The Orlando Magic's SB Nation blog tweeted, it's official. The Magic traded two all-stars for Serge Ibaka.
Who played half a year for them.
Right? Yes, and they traded him for Terrence Ross and Andrzej Pachnik.
Well, Terrence Ross kills the Pacers.
The poor Magic. Okay. Let's talk about what we meant to talk about.
Yeah, so I think we're going to start trade stuff, trade adjacent conversation, I don't know, a whole bunch of stuff just about the
trade deadline. Deadline's in a week? What the heck?
I know, so it is next Thursday, the 6th at 4 p.m., and a lot of implication with it. One, not just for the Pacers, but the teams around them, what moves they'd make and whatnot. But I think to start the conversation, I want to start with what, like, if you had to pick one or two needs the Pacers have, and you can be very nitpicky here, what do you think they are at the moment?
This is incredibly nitpicky, but this actually came to the forefront of my brain as a thought during the Bulls game, that big return.
Oh, probably the same as mine then.
I think a third center.
Yep, I'm there.
That can, you know, this is the only situation I want this player for. It is the game six of the playoffs, and Miles Turner and Sabonis are in a tiny bit of foul trouble. You know, those guys are obviously going to play most of the entire games in the playoffs, right, if they're healthy, and they'll be aggressive with those fouls. But Goga, to me, I love what he's shown development-wise, especially like at moments this season. I think he has a long way to go, though, and even if it's just for 3 to 5 minutes, having – you know, like a Kyle O'Quinn-level guy over Gogo would actually be a pretty big difference.
I agree with you 100%. That's the first thing I went to. I'm like, this team really needs a third center because –
where did they – all summer people were – like they signed Amita Brima for preseason games. Everyone's like, oh, the Pacers have too many centers. And now we're like, they need another one.
Well, Gogo isn't ready to play big time yet. Nothing wrong with it. The rookie went
up. No, he's not ready for high impact.
So my guess is they find this player in the buyout market, not in the trade market, because most of the guys they're going to get are probably going to be like third, you know, a team to third center, right? So they're not really going to like be trading for anything. They don't really want to trade for too good of a player because they already have two centers. They're not going to play very much. So a guy I thought of that might fit here and he might get bought out, I don't really know, is like a guy like Taj Gibson with New York.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the buyout actually is less likely to me because that would mean the Pacers cut someone, and maybe they do, but I would be pretty surprised to see them outright cut someone in the middle of the season.
So Taj, for example, I mean, the reason I say him is he's not certainly not a great player, but he's a third center, probably fine playing in that kind of role where he maybe comes in if a guy gets hurt, which if you trade for him now, he'll definitely play a couple games. Easily will. And he makes, I think, 8.9. So I don't really know how you – that's the problem. I don't know how he made that work. Like, really, any trade for like that kind of player centers around TJ Leaf, who makes like four or something.
Exactly.
Can you – is there a cap way where you can do that because it's salaries under $9 million or no?
For TJ Leaf for like another center? I haven't thought of any deals.
Well, so like Taj makes 8.9, but you have to figure out more salary to make that work.
Yes. I don't know about Taj Gibson trades necessarily. I'd have to look at that. Okay. I need to find Basketball Reference's list of players. But I want to go back to the biomarket thing you said. Another, maybe not issue I have with that, but it's like there are so many like capable enough centers who just aren't on a team right now because of the way the league kind of shifted away from them this summer. Like Greg Monroe is not on a team. Andrew Bogut's not on a team. You can find someone who, I mean, those guys aren't good. Kosta Koufos isn't on a team. He's actually an okay player. Like those kind of guys are just already there. Salamezri, like.
Well, and I mean, I think we saw this with Trevor Booker, right? Those guys might not really be good, but if you need them for a 5-minute pinch in a playoff game, they might be good enough because of past experience and veteranship, stuff like that, where they could just come in and be competent. Where Goga, I worry, could do that. You know, he might shit the bed in that kind of moment.
Yeah, I believe in Goga at long term, and like the whole summer with, I think the Pacers, like weightlifting staff will be massive for him. But Yeah, right now, I think we both agree. Like, in a high – his rotation minutes last night against the Bulls, who are not a playoff team and who have, like, three front court players out, right? So a decently favorable matchup even for a rookie. And, like, 80% of his minutes, the Pacers got smoked. He was useless. So they can't have that when it's important. So I don't know that they'll necessarily do something. They may just bank on, okay, no matter what the situation is, we're going to have one of Sabonis to turn around there. But I think it's reasonable for them to get somebody.
So, okay. So
I need to find the list of players with salaries to see if there is a Leaf for center straight up kind of thing.
So let's expand this conversation though. So if you're in an ideal situation, like let's say we're looking at, because really any trade you make now is probably to win in 2 years or the year after this, right? The next season. That's kind of the Pacers probably, you know, best opportunity to have a shot at winning the East, for example, might be in 2020-21 season, right?
Yeah.
Where do you see them having to make a trade to get better? Like, and a guy that comes to mind in this kind of move, and this is the guy every team has said, and I'm not saying, but like Bogdan Bogdanovic, right? He's the guy everybody is saying, you know what I mean? And maybe he doesn't fit to resign him for a big contract and it's going to screw your cap space, but like, it's something around like, because I would say Jeremy Lamb is the one kind of question mark. Would you think about just flipping Lamb and something else for Bogdan if you can, for example?
Yeah, maybe a stretch four to me, like, Bialica or something like that makes some sense. Just be like, if you're thinking long term, they might get priced out of Justin Holiday next year. And
that's also the other thought, right? Sell high on Justin Holiday.
Another forward. No, I would not sell on Justin Holiday. No way. But getting a guy who can, like, he might not play a ton this year, but be valuable next year could be an option.
But like, I'm serious. Like for Bogdanovic bringing another one back. I mean, is if you could, would you flip Justin Holiday, Lamb, and something for him if you could? I guess the salaries get kind of screwy there, so that's probably too much. But
well, they already gave up. Another reason I think that they won't do something like that this year is because they already gave up their first for Brogdon, right? So they already have one first round pick out the door in the future, which to me, like, the Pacers aren't going to go two first round, like the minus two in the first round pick department for Bogdan Bogdanovic. Like, that's not enough of an upgrade over what they have now to do that. They would only give up a first for, like, oh shit, they're getting whoever, you know, I don't know who that guy is, but something like that.
Okay. I mean, the first round pick, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you can buy it as high as you want, but if they're going to be good, it's going to be a mid-20s pick.
They don't even have it this year, right? The Bucks are going to get, whatever, 22nd, 23rd pick from them.
Yeah, but I mean, let's say you even do lottery protection, right? Top 15 protected or whatever, right? Like I said, it's going to be a top, probably a 20 to 24. Well, it certainly could turn into a player if you draft right, but like we've seen it hit or miss. One time you get TJ Leaf, one time you get Aaron Holiday. Who knows? You don't know, though. I mean, that's what I thought. I mean,
yeah, I don't think anything like that would happen. Like Lamb in the bench hasn't happened yet. Justin Holiday, as appealing as the idea is of, oh, he's expiring, but like he's been crucial and needed. Like, they didn't even bring him up when they were talking about players who could be possibly out of the rotation with Vic coming back. He didn't even say Justin Holiday's name. Like, he knows Justin's going to play a bunch every game. They're not going to.
Is there any, like, pie-in-the-sky type player they could go after, I guess?
High-in-the-sky type player. Who is available in the high-in-the-sky category?
Well, most of the guys probably aren't available or maybe available, but you have to make the right offer, I guess.
I think Kevin Love's the only really good player who even might be available.
And I would not touch that with the salaries way too much.
I like Kevin Love. I think he's really good. But yeah, I agree with you that it's an especially hard trade for the Pacers to make because the way that they would cobble together salary to get to Kevin Love's money would require them sending out something that like is too high of value to trade for Kevin Love, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, he makes 31, and you'd have to send out, like, a Miles Turner plus.
Yeah, one of Miles or Domas has to be there to get there, like, recently, and they're not going to do that. That's already stupid for them.
Yeah, they're not going to do that because I don't think Kevin Love is, like, the $13 million more in salary is worth what you got out of Miles Turner, who's probably, what, 80% of the player he is.
So another – I want to go back to Leaf, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
A way they could get on the buyout market with Leaf is – because his salary, the $2.8 million, isn't super far off from the veteran minimum, some guy this summer who signed a fully non-guaranteed deal, they could swap out Leaf for that guy and then immediately waive that guy and they'd have a roster spot.
Can they waive Leaf whenever they want, theoretically?
They can waive Leaf whenever they want, but that would be dead money for this year and next year, which Like next year, if the only if you wave Leaf and you know that like, okay, we have to pay him out for this year, like whatever for the roster spot, maybe you do that, but I don't think you do it with 2 years left on the deal.
I get what you mean. I feel like at the end of the day, I mean, if you can't make a move now and can't make a move in the summer, at the end of the day, he's probably going to be waived because they're going to want the roster spot. Right?
They might want the roster spot next year. I don't think they really care.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. By like August of next year or late July, we'll be saying, oh, well, they re-signed Holiday, get their mid-level exception guy. Now they need a roster spot for a guy who can actually play, maybe, you know, keep Jakar, for example, or whatever.
So this is – I got to this from an unrelated discussion, but on Twitter today, so the salary cap projections for next year got announced, down $1 million, which isn't a big deal. It doesn't, and the tax going down a tiny bit doesn't really affect the Pacers. They're still projected like $14 million under before free agency even starts. But I was talking with someone, like a way they could get a little more wiggle room under and be able to use their full mid-level to maybe keep Justin Holiday would be to get off of Leaf for nothing and like trading their second plus cash plus Leaf for nothing in the summer could free up a roster spot and get them their full MLE. So something like that also could happen. But that is also unlikely to happen now unless they know that the guy they're getting for Leaf is either expiring or non-guaranteed. They can cut him right away.
Yeah. Okay. Not to like, you know, stop this right now, but I think let's move on to the Leaf, but let's take a break. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash for your wallet. Between the end of the football season, the NBA, and the start of college basketball now, it's time to get off the sideline and get into the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little, to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they can let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. Let's say, for example, you want to bet, let's go to the football games real fast. You want to bet Chiefs at home, and I'm assuming the 49ers are favored. That might be a nice bet to make. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. And if you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000 right now, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. All right. So are there any players? I mean, we talk about some of the players who just are probably available for trades this year and how either they work or don't for the Pacers, for example.
Sure.
So, like, I think I got to throw out first is maybe J.J. Redick, right? I think he might be one of the more available.
J.J. Redick is not available.
You don't think he's available? I think he's more available than you think he is.
I don't think any Pelican is available.
I think they can replace him. That's why. He's on the bench at this point, right?
I think the Pelicans would like to see how good they are with Zion before they trade anybody.
Well, they're not going to beat one of the two L.A. teams in the first round.
No, they don't want to win a playoff series, but, I mean, they have all their guys for the next 2 years.
I don't know. I mean, I think I could see David Griffin being savvy to realize I can probably still compete with what I got, and but I can get a real asset for J.J. Redick for the future, it'd be worth it.
Could probably get an asset for J.J. Redick next year, too.
Well, I thought – what's his salary next year? I guess the same.
Next year, like 14 or something.
Yeah, I guess could you get more of an asset right now because a team in the playoff, like the Pacers, for example, that are like really need a guy to win a playoff series right now? Now, maybe not with the Pacers, but another team come in mind, I guess.
Possibly, but again, I don't really think he's available or that they would be interested in moving him.
No, okay. I mean, that's fair. I mean, I kind of agree he's probably semi-available, but not like – he's like one of those give me the right fake offer. Available. Right offer kind of available.
I like fake available players.
I don't think he's fake available. I think he – is available. I just think he's not like being shopped currently, I guess. Kind of the way, I guess Kevin Love is probably being shopped, right?
Yeah, Kevin Love is imminently available.
Tristan Thompson just doesn't fit, right?
Tristan Thompson. Yeah, Tristan Thompson is good. But yeah, that's not really a fit, right? Especially on an expiring. Are you going to give up assets for that guy who could walk?
You're going to give up one of your like 9 second round picks that the Pacers currently have now.
They probably want more than that. I mean, I would not give them more than that, but I think they would like more than that for him.
Yeah, I don't think anybody will give him that much. They'd maybe rather just not, I don't know, get off. I guess get something for a guy they're going to lose anyways, I guess.
Right.
And they're going to win 20 something games. Who cares?
Yes.
Like Marcus Morris, right? No, right? That's the right one. That's on the Knicks.
The Knicks brother. who made an awful comment last night after the Knicks
line. Yeah, I don't really want him here either. But I mean, he's another guy who's probably available, right?
Yeah, he's definitely available. I think to me, with Marcus Morris, if the Knicks had gotten an offer of a first round pick for him, they would have taken it already.
You know? Yeah.
Because what the hell do they need him for? Like, they want to be bad and they want first round picks. So I don't think that anyone's offered one yet, which is kind of surprising because he's shooting ridiculously well from three. He would be a good fit for the Pacers if there was a good contract trade that made sense, but I don't think there is one.
Yeah, what his salary, I think, is like in the 10, right? 10, right?
It's like 15. I think he got one for 15 from them.
Is that what he got? Because wasn't it originally – it was 10 – he got two for – that's right. He got two for 20, and then he got one for like 15.
Yeah, he got two for 20 from the Spurs.
Okay, and then said, no, I don't want it.
Full MLE, and then they traded Bertans for nothing so they could keep him, and then he ditched on him.
Damn, because Bertans is a damn good player.
Bertans is damn good. If the Pacers had a way to get Bertans, he would be an awesome stretch forfeit for them.
It feels like, right? Somebody jokes that the Wizards' future is Bertans and Beal. That's the team of the future for them.
Yeah, he's that good. He's so good that they're like, no, we're not trading him. Like, we would like to keep him on our next
good team. So we just have some players that actually I kind of like between Thomas Bryant and the other two guys. It's like a decently fun, you know, throw Wall. Yeah,
they're the most fun bad team in the league. They gave up 152 games in a row, but they spoil that.
I guess the other thing, you know, the Warriors, right? I mean, any player who's not in their future, but they want an asset that can help them next year, right? So that's where maybe if you decide to sell high on Justin Holiday, you get somebody, but I'm not really sure who. I mean, from them, like, who really works in that way? I mean, you know, Glenn Robinson isn't really enough of improvement, stuff like that. I mean, I don't, you know, if you really.
Yeah, Alec Burks is a guy they've.
Yeah,
trying to trade, but yeah, like, what does he do for the Pacers
that
they are willing to give up an asset for?
I guess the thing I'm thinking about maybe, and this is bigger picture wise, is the Pacers next year. Do we think the starting five can win 55 games or 60?
Yeah, they might win 55 this year.
60 wins. Get a top two seed.
60 wins. They'd have to do something.
Right, but I'm not sure there's any move available at this moment that gets to that point. Like you know, a lot of teams like make moves now because it helps kind of set them up. But there's not. The Pacers kind of did all those setup moves, right? By Lamb and Warren. And now they're kind of just sitting waiting, where they could make a bigger move in the summer, but they don't. Unless, you know, but I don't know. I think they might also be fine with that. You know, 55 games and being the three seed kind of thing.
Yeah, I think they're just going to see what happens in the playoffs this year, and see what their needs might be from that.
Yeah, I mean, we've been around it, but like, this is why I kind of want to keep doing this trade deadline. Bigger discussion wise, right? At some point, I know it's kind of worked, but like, they get a really good player. At some point, you gotta pick one of the centers.
One was named an All Star today, and one wasn't. So
I think that might be kind of a good transition, actually. To go,
the decision is made, but yeah, I think that's another thing to me is like, all right, say if in the first round of the playoffs, they get a team that everybody thinks like basically non Philly first round opponent. If the lineups with those two on the floor just flame out and suck, then we have a very serious discussion about what that means.
Yes.
And how that trade, that's where TJ Leaf's filler salary makes something happen.
Because then you can do Leaf, one of those guys, Lamb for somebody.
Yeah, something like that, or not even Lamb. I don't know why.
Well, you're trying to get the $30 million salary.
Like $30 million pool. Right, but. Yeah, who's that guy in the
center? So Justin Holiday maybe, and you resign him and trade him kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But
Gallinari is a really good player who would help if they could get him. But again, they're just stuck in this place where like there is not a right salary doesn't require too high of an asset player who helps them immediately and in the future. Like that trade is an unreasonably hard thing to find.
Yeah, and I think they're a pretty deep team everywhere but third center. Right,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Last
year we were talking about like Mike Conley and all these sexy things, and this year like maybe they'll trade TJ Leaf for a third string center.
Well, that's because the team last year was an expiring team, and the team they have now is the first year of a coming up. Like it's an up and coming team,
right? No, I get why. It's just kind of funny year to year. Although I like it when I don't have to talk about trades every freaking day on this show.
Yeah, it helped that both turns must have played well, so there's not the discussion, oh, we got to get rid of one.
Right.
Well, and that, I think that's
and they played well. I think the key there is they played well together.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably a good way to transition into this. So let's take one quick break, and we're going to talk about one of the centers that made the All-Star game. All right, so two All-Stars were traded for Paul George. One went to the now Los Angeles Clippers, and two are on the Pacers. What a trade, what a move. I think I can call it right now. Deal's done, said for sure. Pacers won the Paul George trade 9 times out of 10. Oklahoma City got lost in the process. You know, they ended up with what?
Zip my lips on this.
What?
I will zip my lips on trade winners.
I mean, the Thunder may have got 7 first-round picks, but the Clippers are going to be good in the next 10 years, so they're all going to be in the 20s. They got Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, a great player. They got nobody else of value. They're going to be stuck with this Shea and a bunch of, you know, 20 to 25 pick range guys for the next 6 years. They're going to mediocre.
Shea is going to be so good.
But Victor Oladipo is better, and so, yeah, we're just
– Peak Shea might be better than Vic.
Somebody, I'm not kidding about that. Somebody should call the cops because Oklahoma City got robbed.
That tweet is looking worse and worse every day.
No.
Really happy for Domas,
yeah.
Straight off. Like, I was pretty confident he would make it, but the field of guys who had a good case for one of these reserve spots was probably like 9 or 10 guys deep. So the fact that he made it, the coaches are seeing what he does. They're having the game plan for him. They value what he brings to a team. That's just huge for him. We know he's that good. We watch him every day. But to get that recognition for him, and he deserves it. It's awesome.
Yeah, he is. I think both you and I had a kind of a thought of what he could be. Right, we thought he could be sort of this kind of. Like space and five center, right, where everybody spaces around him and he has the ball in hand and make plays. And you know, I think both you and I said 16 points, 12 rebounds would be like a really good peak. And now he's like 18 and 13.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's up to like, I think three assists a game or something crazy like that. He's just sort of, he's really becoming like, we're just seeing each year he get better and better. And I wonder if it's going to continue to happen, right? Like at some point, is he going to become a three-point shooter, right? Is that going to come into his game? Because I don't take a ton of them right now. He's not a great shooter. He's like, I think, I don't know what percentage right now, but he's not. But, like, I wonder if we're just seeing the beginning of his peak, right? I mean, I think, you know, with Vic, it was fair to say years ago, well, maybe we're starting, you know, he's hitting, like, the very top peak, but he was 26 when he hit me the All-Star game the first time. Domas is 23. I mean, it's like
– Yeah.
Like, night. I mean – Yeah, I mean, guys, limit performance right now. I guess
let's just say that the headline I'm considering writing: Pacers center Domantas Sabonis gets named All Star. Pacers have him for 5 more seasons.
Yeah, I mean it's and he is sort of becoming the different, like, in this league where centers are getting run off the court because they can't do this and that. He is such a good offensive player.
You have to be unique to be a center who can play in the playoffs, and he is unique.
Exactly. You can put him in every single – like, you watch it, and, like, I mean, I know he doesn't have the – like, I wonder what his usage rate in terms of just being put in a play is, right? They don't really keep track of that, right? They have the ball in their hands. But, like, pick and rolls, pick and pops, off-ball screen, like, he's put in every single
offense. Over 50% for sure, which is nuts.
Yeah, I mean, like his usage rate is probably even not that high compared to – everything else.
Right. Usage rate tracks like a possession that ends in free throws, shot for you, or turnover for you, which for Sabonis is still high, but yeah, it doesn't include all the possessions where he has the ball and his dribble handoffing 1,000 times or setting a good screen or something like that, which is another insane thing that he does. He's, you know, even outside of counting stats, we know that he's just the master in the pick and roll. He's the, like, he creates spacing, which people talk about spacing using shooters all the time, but like, guys have to dive into the lane when he is rolling to the basket. Some, like, even bad 3-point shooters provide spacing when he's out there because guys have to run into the lane and help.
Yeah, and
it'll help the Pacers.
Yeah, and I really do think he's gotten better defensively too, right? I don't think he's a great defender, but he is definitely, it seems like he's improved and is knows how to operate at least with you know, the other three guys.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good at guarding centers, I think, which is a big deal, just in general. I mean, last year he was not good at guarding anything, so baby steps.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the other thing we should say is it was, you know, Malcolm Brogdon didn't make the All-Star game. Part of that, I guess, we can blame on Trae Young being voted in because he shouldn't be an All-Star because it's 12 games. But also, Brogdon missed a bunch of games, and that's why.
Yeah, I was going to say, he missed too many to make it. I think, right, what's the snub list for the East? It's pretty big, but, like, LaVine, Jaylen Brown, Bradley Beal, like, those three guys probably have better cases than Brogdon anyway. So even if he had played enough games, it would have been pretty close, but I'm not sure he would have made it.
Well, I mean, I think there's a clear distinction, right, because the coaches ultimately pick the All-Stars, right?
Yep.
The reserves, right? So if you look at the reserves, at least for the East, there's a clear distinction that your team had to be kind of good.
Yeah,
that's right. True. I mean, you don't see any.
Who is the worst team guy who got put in
for this? Who got, so Trae Young is.
No, for the reserves.
So let's see. It's probably
The Pacers are the worst team of the that got a reserve. Least,
yeah, it's probably Damian Lillard, and I think he is maybe.
Oh, but that's Lillard, a no-brainer.
Like. Yeah, Lillard or Ingram, but they're both their teams are in the playoff race still.
Yeah,
like, they might not be like a top six seed.
Well, and the biggest snub in the West is Booker, whose team is also bad. So or, not bad, but
yeah, know. Right. I guess PG didn't make it because of also being out a bunch.
He's been hurt too many games. Yeah.
Right, that's probably the difference.
It's not a snub. He's been hurt too much.
Yeah, no, I mean, same thing, yeah. But, like, the East, right, I mean, probably Jalen Brown is the biggest.
I think Brown's the best guy who didn't make it.
Right.
Brown or Beal.
Yeah, it's like there's literally no player outside the top six on this roster except for the starting lineup where you've got Trae Young.
So Brogdon's probably one of the best five non-All-Stars in the East, I think. Those three guys we talked about, Beal, Levine, Jalen Brown, and then Drummond and him, I think, are the five. Now, when KD is back and Blake Griffin is back, we'll have another discussion. But right now, I think it's one of the best five.
I'm refreshing myself on who made the starters for the East.
You're doing it all really fast. We're doing this at 8 p.m. Maybe they'll be announced by the time you're listening, but we have not had announcements for things like Skills Challenge, 3-point, and the, the rookie sophomore game. What's it called now? The World versus the Mountain Dew Challenge, where they have the World versus USA. I think Domas honestly could be in the skills challenge as a big man, since they do the bigs versus guards, and we all know McDermott should be in the 3-point contest just because he's hitting everything. Like, they have options for the guys, could be an all star.
So, one quick thing to go back on the rosters, right? So, all the top five teams in the East got two players except for the Pacers.
The top they're six seed, so
well, they were the five seed like a day ago.
Busted.
because
I don't deserve two guys, but I get what you're saying.
Legitimately, I think the reason they didn't get one is because Trae Young made the roster.
Well, what? No, Trae's been better than anyone on the Pacers this year.
Well, no, but like I'm saying, like there's clearly a valuing of good players on good teams. That's what I mean.
Yeah, Trae would have made the reserves, I think, even if he didn't get named a starter, though.
Maybe that team is terrible. I mean,
you can't punish guys for being on bad teams.
I mean, you can punish a guy who's taking like an ungodly amount of shots for and not doing.
Who's the second best player on the Hawks? John Collins in his 25 games.
Like, Jabari Parker.
Yeah, exactly. it's insane how bad that roster is. I cannot punish Trae Young.
Yeah, I just feel like.
I also don't like. Like, I get why it's done, especially by coaches, but I don't like including team record as a jumping off point for All-Stars. That seems dumb to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
You look back about it. We use All-Stars in discussions to evaluate, like, who are the best, whatever, 25 players in a given season. And, like, just because your team sucked doesn't mean you weren't one of the best 25 players.
Yeah, but let's remember Zach LaVine also was scoring, like, 26 a game, and he's not getting any. I mean, it's – I don't know.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything else. Well, Trae Young is one of the best passers in the league.
Yeah, but on the defensive end, he's the most negative player.
He is a terrible defender. I will not concede.
Yeah, I don't know.
You'll not hear anything else from me other than that he's a terrible defender.
What you said the top five snub real quick, right? So the five snubs are Beal, Irving.
He hasn't played enough.
Irving isn't a snub. I mean, the best five players not on this roster right now.
The best five? Well, if you're counting like guys who have missed a ton of time, it's like KD, Kyrie.
Oh right, KD's in the East now. Oh my god, I forgot.
Yeah. KD's an Eastern Conference player. He's not one of the best five players. Literally not on the All Star team. I mean, this year he had one of the best five cases that didn't.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, not to get more negative, but, like, once Kyrie and KD go, should we be worried that Simmons wasn't mobile on his roster next year, I guess?
That's possible. How many expiring contracts are on the team?
Let's see. So, well, I guess Lowry could end up not being on it next year because they could be worse. That's certainly possible.
Lowry's made six in a row. I think he's a pretty safe bet to make it next year.
Yeah, maybe it won't be as good. I could see, you know, I don't know. I could see, like –
there aren't very many expiring contracts on this team. That's pretty interesting.
Let's say Simmons and Embiid get broken up. One of them end up in the West, I guess.
I doubt it.
I don't know. Maybe that's.
I kind of doubt it. But yeah, it'll be harder for him next year. That's for sure.
Yeah. I
haven't. Get better himself.
I looked up the skills challenge stuff. I haven't seen anything on that. Apparently, they're not going to make that announcement until like a couple. Or no, not at least not right now. I don't know when they're going to make it.
I don't know when that's. Like, we both agree McDermott should be in the 3-point contest.
I mean,
I don't know if he will be, but he should be.
They just don't – it's not like – it's just like the who picks it. Like, it's just somebody random.
Well, the other – have I told you my conspiracy all-star theory?
Sure. No, I haven't even told me it, but sure, tell it to me, please.
I think they try to get one player from every team in some event. So, like, the year Dragic was, like, the last All-Star when he was picked in after an injury. And then, like, last year, like, Dylan Brooks was in, I forget what, just so they could get a Grizzly there. Like, I think they just try to have one guy from every team. So, like, if they like, need one, I don't know. If they need one Suns player, they'll have, like, Cameron Johnson at a three-point contest.
I gotcha. Well, so what they have probably, like, there's probably 12 to 14 different teams have guys representing right now. I don't know.
Right, exactly. And you know the dunk contest has Aaron Gordon's there, so there's the Magic. Like, stuff like that. You know, I think they just try to have every team represented. Well, and because it's in Chicago, I'd be shocked if Levine doesn't do dunk contest. I mean, he might not, but.
What they could do is just make sure to talk to Jimmy Butler, just make sure he's not going to play again. And they could just have somebody to fill
it. What was the deal with that? That was so bizarre.
He got sick, supposedly, because he probably partied too much the night before. I mean,
that was the L.A. year, so that's not.
That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, that is one of the worst. I mean, you know, to go away, also give him to not play in the game because you don't feel well. I mean, I feel like there's some obligation because you took somebody's spot who, you know, any number of players would love to be in it and did not basically do it. It's sort of just, like, rude to the process of the All-Star.
Sabonis, in his crappy rookie year, he played in that World versus USA game, didn't he?
Yeah, remember he said he wanted to return someday, and he's going back.
Right. So Goga might have a shot at that. The international – like, it's kind of tough because you have to pick from international players in their first 2 years, which is not a big group.
Nope, so, Luka and him.
There's a lot more than that. But, yeah, he's got a shot to play in that game. I don't know if he's in it or not, but I would love that for him.
Yeah. Represent Georgia. Right. So could Aaron Holiday be in that?
He could be in the skills contest. He's so fast.
Wait, I thought the world thing was a first 2 year players. Aaron Holiday would qualify, wouldn't he?
He will not be on the USA team. He's not good enough.
Well, I'm thinking a lot of guys probably won't play, right? I mean, you know, like, why would Trae Young play or why would Luka play in that game theory?
Luka's hurt now too.
You know what I mean?
I think Aaron Holiday has a chance. I had to sort through that. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, they pick, like, Zion over Aaron Holiday.
Yeah, you're right. I'm thinking a lot of guys want, like, why would Zion play in it? But I guess he probably will. Yeah, you're right.
Not to knock Aaron Holiday. We both think he's going to be awesome.
If it was still Fred Mercer's sophomores, he might actually have a shot. I don't know.
But, yeah, it's weird because you have to be a rookie or a sophomore and international, right? So it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
I have a list of international players in front of me, but they don't have a years of service thing, so I can't really. I really tell.
Yeah. Anything else, I guess? I know we wanted this a little bit. We'll probably do more trade online stuff as stuff happens.
Next week we'll talk about it more as it develops and trades actually happen. We didn't get into, like, what teams around the Pacers could do, but they certainly all, like the Sixers especially, clearly have needs, and we'll see what happens there. But, we'll talk about how all those could shape the playoffs. I'm looking forward to next week.
Yeah, I have a feeling the Heat have a move to make, and so do the Sixers.
I don't know if the Heat will do anything because they're shaping up for 2021 free agency. But yes,
they have a good team.
They are really good.
Get the right player next to Butler, and that team with Bam could seriously, because they have the recipe to beat the Bucks. I know we talked about it yesterday, but, like, right, you need that really good forward guard that can kind of shut down Giannis, and, you know.
Yeah, they get, like, Drew or Beal or something, they're there, man.
Yeah, you put Drew Holiday there, and maybe you get Butler to have Kawhi-type level play for the playoffs, and, you know.
He's always good in the playoffs, too, at least since he got his MIP.
Yes. Having a crappy year, though, but maybe you turn around. Like, crappy year for Butler standards, at least.
Yeah, whatever. He's been playing really well.
Yeah, I just mean his standards.
His crap year is an All-Star grade.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And that's how good he is. But he's having, a down year compared. But anyways, all right. Well,
congrats to Domas. That's the big takeaway.
Yes, congrats to Domas. Sorry we did not do a Knicks preview. I hope nobody's disappointed by that one. If you are, feel free to tweet at Locked On Pacers, because I'm sure we're all excited to hear
about it. I'll go out the next game Monday. That's what we'll do.
Yeah, we'll recap. Tony, I'll be back again on Monday to do a whole week's preview. As always, we'll bring you 5 days of podcast, 5 days a week. You can follow him at Teased NBA, me at Freedom Adam 5. That's all for Locked On Pacers podcast. We will see you guys again.